Hey, I'm Father Chris Ortega.
And I'm Abby Byron Goslin.
And this is Casual Conversations with
It's Catholic, Y'all.
And today, it's part two of our intense spiritual warfare, kind of a two-part podcast of sorts. Today we're going to be talking a little bit about some practical tools to kind of consider when entering into and talking about the spiritual life. So we're talking about, you know, this acronym called HALT, Sacramentals.
We're also going to talk about like spiritual boundaries and like how not to overstep our spiritual boundaries, but how also to be bold and to step out in faith when God's calling us to.
And also realize that you're never crazy to talk about the spiritual life. It's supposed to be normal to talk about the spiritual life.
So in our previous podcast, we talked about spiritual warfare. How to take names and kick butt, and basically how to step into your baptismal authority as priest, prophet, and king, and to fight back, which really in fighting back, what we're saying is no longer being a victim of these types of things in your life, but standing in the victory of Christ. Mm-hmm. And so we want to continue that into this podcast and give you some tools that will help you in discerning, like, what is of God and what is not of God, what is, like, a spiritual attack and what might just be the fact that you're hungry or whatever. So one of the first tools that I found super helpful because when you first start learning about spiritual warfare, one of the temptations that can come at you is, like, you start to see the devil everywhere. Like, you think, oh, my gosh, that's the devil. Oh, my gosh, that's evil. Oh, my gosh, that's him. You know, like, and you start to see him active in all these different ways in your life. And, okay, so the devil's not God. He's not omniscient. Mm-mm. He's not omnipresent.
Nope.
And he can only be in one place at one time. So, no, it probably wasn't the devil. It could... And please, please, please don't try to, like, use the excuse, the devil made me do it. Like, no. Just pause, breathe, and realize that God is so much bigger. So we don't talk about these things to give glory to something that does not warrant it. But one of the tools that can be really helpful is this word, just remembering the word HALT or HALTS. And when you're thinking about this, it's an acronym for hungry, angry, lonely, tired, and stressed. So HALTS.
HALT.
Yeah.
S.
Hungry, angry, lonely, tired, stressed. So sometimes when people come to me and they're freaking out and they think like that they're under attack, one of the first things that I do kind of assessing that system is I bring them back to this and I say, like, okay, like out of these five things, like where would you say you're at? Like, okay, you're hungry. Maybe you're angry about something. You're lonely. You're tired or stressed. If it's a 3 out of the 5, you need to halt and address it. So if you're hungry, okay, go eat something. If you're tired, take a 20-minute nap, power nap. You know, if you're lonely, call up a friend that you need to talk to. But whenever these five things are active in your life, you are more susceptible to attack. And the devil is able to do a lot more in your life because of it. And so just really gauging that as ministers and even just as lay people, realizing like, okay, I really want to scream at this person, or I really want to act out in a certain way, or like I'm completely in despair and I'm ready to just lose it because I think that, like, you know, I'm totally in victim mode right now and I'm getting beat down, I'm getting attacked. Okay, well, pause, do the assessment. Am I hungry? Am I angry? Am I lonely? Am I tired? Am I stressed? And then immediately go to addressing those situations in your life. And as you do that, whatever opening the devil was using to get at you is going to get closed in the process of taking care of yourself and making sure that these natural things are being addressed. Because the supernatural, I don't know what the right way of like phrasing this is, but like the supernatural works with the natural, like, or exploits the natural. I mean, they're not distinctly separate.
Right. I think it was St. Thomas Aquinas who said grace builds on nature.
Mm.
And it's supposed to be like a cooperation with nature. Even anti-grace, if you will, can exploit and can hurt nature. And sometimes we can be disposed if we have certain traumas or whatever. Where then that anti-grace, that's not a real thing, I'm just making it up, but like
creating words, right, as millennials.
You know, it's that anti-grace, if you will, then can tap into that hurt and then wound, and it gives us a disposition to always be upset or always be angry, or whenever we interact with certain people, like a certain characteristic always comes up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then another thing to look at too is boundaries, right? So there are, in healthy living, in mature Christianity, adulthood even, one of the things we have to learn is boundaries, right? Healthy boundaries. What is my place? What is not my place? Like, where am I overstepping things? Where am I, like, entering too much into something? Or like someone, like what are the boundaries like that need to be in place to keep me safe, to keep others safe? You know, what is healthy in this situation? Now, boundaries and walls, I think my opinion on this is that there is a difference between like boundaries and walls, right? So I'm not saying like put walls up around everything to protect yourself and to create your safe space. I'm saying, be aware of the fact that just as there are boundaries that are healthy in the natural, there are also boundaries that are healthy in the supernatural. So making sure that we're not overstepping the supernatural boundaries and praying into situations in ways that could bring about attack towards us because we're overstepping our spiritual boundaries. Now, I'm going to try to figure out how to unpack that and explain it in a little bit simpler of a way. But I'm hoping that Father Chris can help me out.
Actually, you just saying that, I was brought back to an experience I had in college. And so I had some really great, awesome college friends, and we went to Ave Maria University. And so it's a really solid Catholic school. And one of my friends, he struggled with, like, depression and whatnot. And in retrospect, I'm starting to realize what actually happened. And so this is a great, like, conversation to begin to flesh that out. And so he was having this intense heaviness of sorts. And I remember at one point, like I cared for the man. Like, I cared for my brother. And we were roommates for, like, 3-4 years. And so we really had a really strong brotherhood, especially with this other guy. Like, it was the three of us. And, like, he would talk about, like, this desolation, this heaviness, you know, this kind of dark night of the soul that he, like, had. There was a lot that was there. And it was kind of foreign to me. And a part of me then, I began to pray to the Lord. And I said, Lord, like, let me bear some of this.
Mm.
Like, let me take some of this away from him. Like, I don't want him to undergo this. And it was like a full-hearted, just trusting that, like, I wanted to share my brother's hurt because I didn't want him to have it. And the Lord heard my prayer. So much so that all of a sudden, like, what started to happen in my prayer life, you know, I was going to Mass, I was going to confession, but I just started to feel like this heaviness that was just kind of was on my chest, on my mind, very dark thoughts, very, very desolate, very, like, there's just, my prayer life just was stripped away, and it was a certain experience, and I began to share with my roommate. I'm all like, you know, I've said this prayer, like, I'm praying for you because I really care about you, and it's like, but... And I started to say, you know, this is kind of how I feel. And again, he's never really explained what he would go through. And I just started to articulate what was going on. And then he just kind of just looked at me. He's like, that is exactly how I would describe what I'm going through. And it was almost like suffocating. Like, I couldn't really function well as a student. And then I went to confession. And I talked to the priest. And I told him what I've done, and then he looked at me. He's all like, okay, don't you ever do that again. Like, he was, like, almost, like, upset with me, and because he's, you know, interacting with my roommate. And it was almost like he was, like, with a fatherly sternness, he's like, don't ever do that again. He's like, you don't want to take on anything that you can't handle. And there was almost, like, this, like, fatherly unspoken, you know, correction. And it was almost like he was like, he wasn't saying you idiot. And that's not where he was coming from. But it was almost like if you could put it into like messy language, he was basically saying that. It's like, oh, you idiot, don't do that. Like, don't. And then when I shifted my prayer to just kind of letting go of that and coming back to the Lord, kind of asking forgiveness from the Lord for if I did anything I shouldn't be doing, there was a release. Now, so kind of in what Abby is speaking about, like these walls, like I didn't respect the walls that were properly there. I wasn't, I don't know if like that's kind of how we say it, but I would actually say like spiritually mature, you know, like I wasn't there. There was something that I kind of opened up that maybe I wasn't ready for. I don't know how else you would explain it, but that's kind of like something that popped into my head when you're talking about walls and just like those spiritually healthy boundaries.
Yeah.
Right? Boundaries. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's okay. I think it would have been a wall if you had like taken what that priest said too hard or too far and kind of like never prayed in that way ever again. Like would be like a wall that kind of would get built up around your heart. But in this case, what you're talking about is definitely like an overstepping the boundaries, right?
You weren't
in a place of spiritual authority over your roommate, right?
Mm-hmm.
You weren't his godparent. You weren't his like
spiritual director,
sponsor, spiritual director, priest, like
parent.
None of those things. You were a friend,
mm-hmm.
but you kind of stepped into a spiritual like position of one of those things by making the decision that you made. And the beautiful thing is, right, that was a beautiful movement of your heart and that you desired to enter into your brother's suffering and to help alleviate some of that. But the question that I keep going back to and thinking about that is like, was it God that asked you to do that, or is that something you chose to do
mm-hmm.
on your own?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in the case of this father, like, I think he was putting you kind of back in your place in the realization of
yep.
like, that's not your job. Like, that's what Jesus is for. Like,
yeah.
your job is to help bring him to Jesus, not to just take away or become his savior in some way.
Right.
And so the healthy boundary in that place, right, is from an intercessory standpoint, to be able to pray with him and for him and to be able to bring him to Jesus, but to not become Jesus for him. That's
mm-hmm.
the difference.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, like, by virtue of our baptism, like, we as lay people, we absolutely have the ability to pray and to take authority over certain spiritual situations, especially with those that have been entrusted to our care. So those that we maybe have sponsored through confirmation, those that are godchildren, those that are in our families, friends that have given us that permission and their lives. All of those or if we're actively serving in ministry, then the people that we're responsible for in ministry. We have the ability to pray in that authoritative way into their lives and over their lives. But we also have to keep it in perspective in realizing that they have a savior. It's not us.
Exactly.
And that if we do start to kind of overstep, giving God permission to bring us back, giving our guardian angels permission to kind of draw us back to God. And if you're not sure in a situation of whether or not you can be praying in that way, because one of the things I've realized as I've shared this with people is sometimes they get into fear and they're like, oh, I can't pray in that way. Like, oh, I can't like name spirits and like send them before the cross. Like, I can't do that. And I'm like, yeah, actually you can.
Mm-hmm.
Do you need to use caution with it? Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely.
I'm not saying walk into a mall and start binding and casting everything like that people are carrying. Like, I mean, you could do that, but like you're also probably going to walk away with like some significant baggage from doing that because you're praying over these people that you don't have the authority to do so.
Right.
But that being said, if you're a teacher, for example, and you want to walk into your classroom, you want to take authority over that classroom and over those students, you can do that. You can pray. You've been given that authority by being their teacher and by virtue of the position that you're in. If you're a pastor, you have authority over your parishioners, over your
mm-hmm.
church.
Mm-hmm.
And there, for me, as a faithful lay woman, there's no greater consolation to my heart than when I see priests actually being priests. There's no greater desolation to my heart than when I see priests that are incapacitated and not fully living out their priesthood or their fatherhood. And I would say the same thing for nuns, for religious. It's beautiful when the church is praying and the church is fully alive and, for lack of a better phrase, taking names and kicking butt and just not being complacent and not dismissing spiritual maladies as something that's just natural when it's not. There are instances where it is natural, and,
yep.
but there are also times where it's not. It's supernatural. And we need to stop pretending like the supernatural doesn't exist, and we need to stop being victims and start being victors.
Something real quick, just to chime in with that. When we begin to talk about the spiritual realm, I will admit, and I speak from my own experience, we begin to sound like crazy people because because like everything becomes spiritual, like spiritualized in a good way, where you know we're seeing how God is working, and it's just when we begin to talk about it, it's like I feel like I'm a crazy person, but because I keep talking about like God and how He's moving, or you know, guardian angels, or like that's a possibility that is evil doing this. Like I don't want to be a crazy person. I don't want to blame other things. And I get it. I get it. I speak from experience. Like I felt like a crazy person. Like even as a priest, I knew the spiritual realm was real. But then when this started to like really flourish in my life, you know, at first I really felt like a crazy person because it's like everything I was experiencing and seeing and trying to articulate, I could only articulate a certain way within the spiritual realm because there is it couldn't necessarily be explained in the physical realm. And I felt really weird. And so that will happen. You know, that may happen to some people when you begin to kind of really open up to see what the Lord is doing. So understand that that is normal if you begin to feel like that. And I've talked to people that they are beginning to grow in a certain way with the Lord, and they're like, Father, but I feel just crazy. I feel silly saying it like this. I'm like, I know, but you're actually right in saying it that way. You're correct in speaking about like that's actually what's going on, that you feel like your guardian angel is actually talking to you because your guardian angel is talking to you. Like I'm helping to discern that, and that is actually what is happening. And so, you know, and this is meant to be natural for us to be able to talk about the spiritual realm the way we talk about the physical realm, the way we talk about how we feel physically in this world. You know, we are meant to speak about the spiritual realm like it's second nature as well.
Mm-hmm. And this is something that like the early church wouldn't even have thought twice about. Like in no way did they think that they were crazy. I mean, some of them had actually personally witnessed the miracles that were happening and the deliverances that were happening. But, you know, for whatever reason, the devil likes to make us forget, right? And so we've actually forgotten that this is a huge part of what it is to be a Christian, what it is to be a Catholic, like that we need to be familiar with these realities. This is reality. And the devil tries really hard to convince us that it's not. And so just stepping into that and realizing that we're not crazy, even though we might sound that way, we're definitely not. And I think, in fact, it's more crazy to try to live your faith in a world where evil is very prevalent, where we have many examples of it. We see it daily through violent acts that are happening in our country, through the division and the disunity that we see. I think it's more crazy to look at that and just pretend like there's not something behind it.
Right.
Let's just call it what it is. It's evil. And let's choose to fight back against it.
Yeah.
So another great tool that God has given us is sacramentals. That is another great like weapon that we have against the powers of darkness. So do you want to explain kind of sacramentals, and then I have a story to share about one of mine.
I'm burping here.
Pause. Okay. While we're paused.
Cutting. I just brought it up.
Soul ties? Is that what you're talking about?
Soul ties. I was thinking about soul ties because we were talking about practical tools, and like I kind of noticed in that conversation we needed to come back to talking about tools.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of, you know, okay. Cutting ties. But you talk about sacramentals. I'm like, great.
Let's do sacramentals and then this Macon story and see where we're at.
Okay.
With time. And if we're still good, we'll go there. And
okay.
If we're not,
cool.
Then we'll keep that in a relationship one.
Cool. Good idea. So sacramentals, so we have the sacraments. You know, the seven sacraments. And sacramentals are other objects that have received a blessing that within themselves they hold this special grace to assist us in our devotion, So they hold their like these vehicles of grace, and so like holy water is blessed, and it's used to bless spaces, rooms, homes, and evil actually flees from that, you know. And when we bless ourselves with holy water, and actually, I don't know if people actually know this, but your venial sins are pardoned when you bless yourself with holy water. Granted, you have to have the right disposition and be sorry for your sins. Don't just be like, oh, magic water, I don't have to go to confession. No, I'm sorry. No, it doesn't work that way. But so holy water is a sacramental. Holy salt, there's salt that's been exercised. And salt can also act as like a barrier protection. So you can like, you know, sprinkle holy salt around your room. And there are stories of people that begin to have prayer sessions and they'll put holy salt like at the entrance and like create a border, a line there. And there have been people that are, you know, not of God, and they're praying against the whole situation, and they'll actually try to come to these meetings, but then they all stop short of the line. Like, they don't necessarily see mm-hmm. those salt, so it's not like a bunch of salt. Mm-hmm. But like all of a sudden they stop because they can't go in anymore because the holy salt is creating this perimeter, this protection, barrier. At other sacramentals, the rosary, like when you get a rosary blessed, holy cards, miraculous medals. There's a really cool thing called a detente. A detente is I think it comes from Spain, and it's kind of a little patch of the Sacred Heart, calling on God's protection. They make some really cool ones in Mexico and different parts of Latin America and Spain. So that would be a sacramental. If you have a crucifix, if you have a scapular, I mean, anything like quote unquote religious items, like those would be sacramentals once they receive a blessing.
Yeah, and that's the key. They do have to receive a blessing in order for that to like basically be activated, for lack of a better word. Right. So like I've had situations where students have had crucifixes in their room, but they are having some pretty significant like spiritual warfare stuff going on in that room. And they've said, you know, well, yeah, I'll ask them, you know, do you have a crucifix in your room? They'll say, yeah. And then I'm like, well, do you know, was it ever blessed? And they'll say, well, no, actually it was never blessed.
Oh, wow.
So we actually had a student locally that had some major stuff going on with her roommates, and the crucifix. So she got a crucifix. She put it up in her room. It hadn't been blessed. And when she left and then came back, it had actually been taken off the wall, thrown on the floor. Not to like freak everybody out. Everybody's like, wait, what did she say? But it had been taken off the wall and thrown on the floor. And so she called me like hysterical, like because she couldn't understand like what was going on. And like, how does this thing have more power over, you know, than over her room than Jesus? And okay, for one thing, she was getting messed with. But
wait, this is the way her roommates didn't do it.
No. Nope. Nope. Roommates didn't do it. I mean, maybe the stuff from the roommates did it, but it wasn't the roommates. And no, there wasn't an earthquake to like make it fall off the wall or anything like that. It was pretty clear that this had been done. And again, she was getting messed with. Like, the intent was to invoke fear, right? And to get her to doubt in the power of Christ.
Right.
But like in stepping back and looking at the situation, like it was just a matter of asking her a simple question. Okay, was that crucifix actually blessed? And the answer was no. So she went, she got the crucifix blessed, put the crucifix up on the wall, didn't move after that, and there weren't any more problems. You know, but it was just a really good teaching opportunity for her to understand like the difference in the power between sacramentals and
non-sacramentals
images, you know. So that being said, I have another crucifix story. So I was visiting another one of our campus ministries, and I was supposed to be – well, so I'm visiting one of the campus ministries in the north, and I'm talking with their chaplain at the time, their priest, and we're walking down the street, and it's not, like, the best city. Like, it's not the best area, and we're, like, on the street, and it's kind of late because we've just, like, finished having a meal with the students, and I'm walking back to my car. He's walking back to the rectory, and there's a few students with us, and we just get into this conversation about, like, it not being super safe, and, like, somebody jokingly says, well, you know, we really should be packing right now. Like, we really should be, like, carrying.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And so I like half jokingly made the comment of, well, you know, like I am packing right now. Like I am carrying. Thank you very much. And of course, they're all like, seriously, seriously? Well, I pull out the crucifix that I generally carry on me, which also happens to be a first class relic that has been in my family for a really long time. So I have just, I generally carry that with me when I'm doing ministry. And I pull that crucifix out and I said, you know, yeah, like this is what I'm carrying. Like, and this is all I need. Like, this is enough, like to protect me from anything that might come against me. One of my spiritual mentors, when I first got into ministry, he said, I'm going to teach you a really simple prayer. It's called a binding prayer. He said, basically, if anybody ever attacks you, like, I want you to know, like, how to pray for it to stop. And I was, like, really freaked out because I was like, you're not just talking about supernatural attack. You're talking about natural attack.
Oh, yeah. I was about to ask you.
Yeah. He's talking about natural attack. He was like, in the work that you do, like, you could very well be attacked, like, in the natural. And I was like, oh, great. Okay, thanks. Like, I don't think I signed up for that when I said, like, yes to ministry, but apparently I did. And so this binding prayer was just a simple prayer that could be prayed, like, under your breath. You don't have to, like, scream it or yell it or anything like that. But just in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who came in the flesh, I bind, ban, and break you and send you to the foot of the cross. And so if there's a specific spirit that, like, comes, then you're praying for that to be bound. But at the very least, you're binding whatever it is that's attacking you. So realizing that a natural attack could actually be prompted by a supernatural attack, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So he was teaching me, like, how to fight back and how to be safe. But it freaked me out, and, like, fast forward, like, 4 or 5 years later, right? I've not, thankfully, had to use that or put that into practice, thanks be to God. But I'm in Macon, and I am going to speak at this I'm going to speak at another campus ministry that's actually outside of our diocese, and I get lost as I'm trying to get there. I didn't really know where I was going, but for any of you that don't know, sorry, I'm actually not in Macon. Where am I? I'm in...
Currently, you're in Savannah.
Milledgeville, right? Milledgeville is in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So it was actually in Milledgeville that where this happened. So for those of you that don't know, Milledgeville, Georgia, there are two green streets, one green street with an E and one green street without an E. And I was on the wrong green street. And as I'm on the wrong green street, I'm realizing as I'm looking around, I'm like, none of this looks like a campus ministry house. Like, I don't think I'm in the right place.
You're walking?
No, I'm driving.
Okay.
I was like, yeah, I don't think I'm in the right place. Like, these are, like, really run down houses. Like, it's just looking like it's a really rough area, looking like we probably have some drug houses going on here, probably worse than that. And there's a bunch of kids that are, like, out in the street playing, and I was like, I just don't think I'm in the right place. So I decide I'm going to make another loop around the block. Well, when I make a loop around the block, these kids disappear. Like, there's no sign of anyone that had been outside before. And I was like, oh man, like, what's happening? Like, what's going on? But there's, like, 3 or 4 adults that are, like, on the porch of this house. And I don't know why I thought this was a good idea. But I thought, okay, I'll ask them for directions. Because I didn't have the person who was my contact at this campus ministry wasn't answering their phone. I didn't have any way of getting help in any other way. So I was like, all right, old school, fine, I'll ask for directions. So I pull up, I roll down my window, and I yell out to them. And I said, hey, do you think you can help me find this? Like, I'm looking for the campus ministry. I'm looking for the college. Can you kind of, like, send me in the right direction? I'm obviously in the wrong place. So the woman that I was speaking to won't talk to me, like, won't answer my questions. And next thing you know, this, like, really angry-looking guy comes storming out of the house to my car. I don't know why I didn't roll up the window and pull away, but I didn't. and I just looked at him and I said, hey, this is what's the situation. I'm trying to get to this campus ministry. Do you think that you could help me figure out where to go and give me directions? Well, next thing I know, his hand is going, like, inside of his jacket. And I thought, oh, my God, he's about to pull a gun on me.
Oh, my gosh.
And I just start praying Hail Marys, like, under my breath. And I'm, like, trying to figure out how to roll up the window / pull away at the same time without getting shot. And then I was like, I don't think I should move, because if I move, like, he could very well pull something out and, like, shoot at the car or something like that. So I just, like, stay there, and I was like, so really I'm just looking for directions. And he's like, yeah, right.
Oh my gosh.
He's like, I know what you are. And I was like, I do too. Here's my badge. I work for the Diocese of Savannah. Like, I'm a campus minister. I'm supposed to be speaking at this campus. Can you please give me directions? He's like, that's not what you are. I know what you are. And I was like, no, really, like, that is what I am. Like, I'm a child of God. Like, so are you. Can you please just give me directions? And he says, you're an undercover cop.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah. My gosh. This is getting bad.
And so in my head, I'm like, oh, you're so screwed. Like, this is so not good. Like, this is why you don't ask for directions from strangers. And so initially, I started to totally go into victim mode. I was like, I'm about to get shot. Like, okay, here we go, martyrdom. Woohoo. Like, I don't know. And I start to... Well, I started to pull away, and he's like, don't you go anywhere. Don't you go anywhere. And so, like, I'm freaking out about that.
So you don't move because he told you
right.
not to.
Totally. So I just start babbling, and I'm like, look, I am not an undercover cop. I was like, I am who I say that I am. And at that point, I, like, had my hand kind of on my purse, and this crucifix that is normally in my pocket was sitting on my purse. And I just, like, grabbed it, and I put it between him and I, and I said, look, I am who I say that I am. I am a campus minister for the Diocese of Savannah. I am going to speak to a campus ministry. I am lost and I need directions. Are you going to help me or not? And he backs up from the car the second I pull the crucifix out. He throws up his hands and he goes, she pulled a crucifix on me. There was an explicative that he also said, but I will leave that out for editing purposes. But needless to say, he literally jumped back from the car and was like, she pulled a crucifix on me. Like, what the?
Yeah.
To which I just looked at him and I said, I told you, I am who I say that I am. Are you going to help me or not? And he was like, you are cool. I am totally going to help you. And his entire disposition changed. And all of a sudden, he was inviting me to an after party at his house, like, after I got done speaking, to which I was like, that's not going to happen. But thank you very much. Just give me directions. And he was like, oh, I know what happened. Like, there's two green streets, and you're on the one with the E and not the E. And he's like, you need to be on the other green street. And he's like, this is awesome. I'm like, here you go. And so we could have just, like, parted ways or whatever, but I was feeling really bold at this point. And I just said, I was like, hey, brother, like, what's your name? I want to pray for you. Like, I'm really, like, I realized, like, things started off pretty tense here because you thought I was someone that I wasn't. I said, but I'd like to keep you in my prayers. Could you give me your name? So he gives me his name. And then he turns around and he gives me the name of everyone else that's in this drug house as well.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. And he was like, you're cool. Like, yeah. Yeah, pray for us. And please come back to our party. And I was like, yeah, no. All right, thanks. God bless you. Like, take care and have a great night. And so then I get to carry on and go to this campus ministry. And so as I'm driving down the street, I'm thinking about what had just happened, like, the week before when I was in Macon. And I was, like, jokingly say, like, yeah, I'm packing and I'm carrying a crucifix. And I was like, well, talk about, like, putting your cross with your mouth at where your mouth is. I mean, like, it was totally, like, yeah, wow. Like, God literally gave me, I guess, prepared me, right, in getting me in the right frame of mind, mm-hmm. but then also gave me the opportunity to literally put that teaching into practice in a big way. But yeah, so I got to this campus ministry and I was able to, like, and ironically, the topic that night was on everyday martyrdom. And so I was able to, like, open up and jokingly, like, share the story with them and tell them that, you know, I almost was a martyr that day and that... But to just proclaim the truth and to, like, realize mm-hmm. the power that Christ has given us, right? Yeah. I could have totally succumbed to fear in that moment. I could have become a victim very easily. But instead, by the grace of God, I was able to stay in the victory and able to love these people that are in fear, that, you know, are in darkness and that need Christ just as much as everyone else. And, thanks be to God, like, in that moment, like, that was Jesus showing up in a very authoritative way, but protecting me, but also, like, proclaiming to them, like, I am who I say I am. Don't mess with me. And don't mess with my daughter.
That's so cool. That's so cool. It's like your heart had that disposition of that prayer that your mentor taught you.
Mm-hmm.
What was that again?
It was... In the name of Jesus, Christ of Nazareth, who came in the flesh, I bind you and send you to the foot of the cross for him to deal with as he sees fit.
Yeah.
But even just binding it, so, like, even if you don't remember that whole long prayer that I just said, in the name of Jesus, I bind you mm-hmm. to ineffectiveness.
Yeah.
That's sufficient.
Yeah.
But just really realizing that, like, evil has no power over us, less what we give it.
And notice that there's a freedom that you have when your heart begins to develop that disposition, that you're free to be yourself, you're free to enter into the boldness, and then you don't let the situations around you begin to depict how you should act.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you were kind of mentioning a little bit, you're entering into the fear and you want it to go away, and then all of a sudden, and then he quote unquote had control over you, said, don't you move. And then all of a sudden you just grab the crucifix. You kind of entered into the boldness, like, no, wait, this is who I am. And bam, the Lord just kind of really shone forth, just very much, you know, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Free from the grasp of drug dealers.
And anything else.
And anything else. So praise God. Awesome. Okay. So just those are just a couple little practical tools. Just halt, you know, and we're just talking about just even those binding prayers. Just a couple little things there just kind of think about and pray through. And remember, just lean into the victory. You are sons and daughters of God. You know, don't enter into the lies. You know, these other lies, they... You are someone else, that you are your work, you are, you know, you are not loved, that you'll never be listened to, you know, that you can just, the lies of the devil, just do not enter into them, rebuke them, you know, always do everything in the name of Jesus Christ, you know, in the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke the lie, or in the name of Jesus Christ, I bind, or, you know, always do everything in the name of Jesus Christ, because it's then that you lean into him, mm-hmm. lean into his victory and his authority.
And then replace whatever it was that was coming at you with the truth. Stand mm-hmm. in the firm foundations of the truth,
yeah.
who you are and whose you are.
Yeah. In the name of Jesus Christ, I proclaim the truth of that.
Yeah. So, be you not afraid, be bold.
Mm, amen. All right, let's close in prayer. Dear Lord God, we thank you for your great goodness, your truth, for your beauty. We ask that you pour out your spirit upon us, a spirit of boldness, a spirit that entrusts ourselves to you. May you continue to assist us as we live out our lives for you, in our ministry, in our everyday life, with the family, with work. You know us better than we know ourselves. And so allow us to be transformed into the men and women you have created us to be. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go in peace.
Thanks be to God.